Joining us now with a look at trends in opioid use in Minnesota is Carol Falkowski. She's tracked drug use for years. She's currently CEO of Drug Abuse Dialogues, which focuses on drug education and training. Good morning, Carol.
Yeah, good morning.
I looked through your most recent drug abuse trend report from Minnesota, and I note that 16.5% of admissions to treatment programs were for heroin abuse. How does that stack up with numbers from the past?
Well, having written these reports on an ongoing basis for 30 years now, we didn't see very many people getting treatment for heroin until the turn of the century. And then, starting in the year 2000, it has been gradually creeping up. But in 2000, about 1% of admissions to treatment were for heroin, and now it's 16%. Add to that the number of admissions for other opiates, the prescription painkillers, and it's a full quarter of people who are coming into treatment, 25%, are there for opioid addiction. Yeah. And we've never seen this. This is unprecedented. At the same time, when you're in the midst of an epidemic, that is something you want to see. You want to know that more people than ever are getting help for this addiction.
What's the profile of a typical opioid abuser? Is it different than someone who uses other drugs?
Well, if we're talking about heroin abusers, most of them tend to be young white males in their 20s. Of the people coming into treatment, 37% of them are under the age of 25, and they're predominantly males. If we're talking about painkillers, that's another issue, and probably about half of those folks are male and half are female, and it's an older group. About 45% of them are over the age of 35. But still, when we look at people coming into treatment for heroin, the majority of those young people are people who started their addiction with addiction to prescription painkillers.
I'm curious about the abusers themselves. Are they concentrated in the Twin Cities or throughout the state of Minnesota?
There is no community in the state of Minnesota that is untouched by this crisis. There's some variations between metropolitan and rural areas, but those distinctions are really quite small relative to what they were, you know, 20 or 30 years ago.
What I'm trying to get my head wrapped around is the ease in which people get addicted to these drugs. What goes on that it occurs this way?
The likelihood of anyone becoming addicted is about half genetic predisposition and half environmental factors. And add to that, for every person who's addicted, there's sort of a drug that is like their big boom shakalaka boom drug, the drug that really has an effect for them, and they have an affinity for that drug. So a person could be going along, and it turns out that opioids are that drug for that person, but they would never have occasion to purchase illegal drugs. Well, they might have occasion to be in a severe accident or have an injury and be prescribed painkillers that work in the same way as heroin, and that can trigger the path to addiction for people.
Because you've worked so long in this area, I'm curious, what should society be doing about the problem?
Well, to address any drug epidemic, historically, it has three prongs. It has prevention, law enforcement to curtail the supply, and treatment to help the people who are addicted. But with this epidemic, because of the relationship with prescription pain medication, we also have to look at the practice of medicine. Right now in Minnesota, it's encouraging that more people than ever are receiving treatment. It's encouraging that our law enforcement task forces throughout the state are removing more heroin than they ever have. Seizures from 2014 to 2015 increased 47%, so they're removing it. And it's also encouraging that for the second year in a row, we're seeing a decline in opiate-related deaths in Hennepin County, which is our largest county. So all of these things are, in a sense, encouraging in what you want to have happen in addressing an opioid epidemic. But this practice of medicine issue is something we have to tackle more aggressively.
Because I would presume also patients report to a doctor saying, I'm in pain, I am really hurting here.
Right. One of the issues involving doctors is that sometimes payment is based on patient satisfaction surveys. Well, if you have a person who is an opiate-addicted, drug-seeking patient, they're never going to be satisfied unless they get more and more prescriptions for prescription painkillers. So in that sense, doctors are disincented to really address this issue. So there are a number of things that have to change. In addition to that, most doctors only receive several hours of formal medical training about addiction. They receive more training about terroristic poisonings like ricin and biological agents than they do about addiction.
Carol Falkowski, I appreciate the conversation this morning, as always.
Good to talk to you, Kathy.
Carol Falkowski is CEO of Drug Abuse Dialogues. You can find out much more about our series on Minnesota's opioid epidemic at nprnews.org.